Hey everyone, welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. Today, I'm going to give you another Bitcoin update. We're going to go through first and foremost GameStop, what on planet Earth is going on there. We're going to go through market-wide risk-taking, take a look at credit spreads, and then we've got some Bitcoin charts for you, looking at some spending dynamics that suggest that, just like I've said for a while now, Bitcoin has plenty of tread in the tires, right, to still go. And then we'll also talk about mining economics and what miners are facing in the weeks to come. And then we'll conclude with a little bit of what I think Bitcoin is going to do for the summer. So without further ado, let's dive straight into it. But before we do, a word from our sponsor, River. You guys know all about River. I've talked about them constantly. River is our Bitcoin exchange of choice. You can securely buy Bitcoin with zero fees on recurring orders, have peace of mind thanks to their one-to-one full reserve multi-sig cold storage custody, and you can withdraw at any time. If you need any help, they also have 100% US-based phone support for all clients. And they just launched a new feature just 2 months ago called River Link that lets you send Bitcoin over a text that can be claimed to any wallet. It's revolutionary. I was just reading yesterday how one guy settled a bet with his friend using River Link. So you can give a gift, pay a friend for dinner, orange pill your friends, totally hassle-free. Best place to buy Bitcoin. Use river.com/TBL to get up to $100 when you sign up and buy Bitcoin. You can find that link. Type it into your browser. Don't be lazy. All right. Without further ado, let's dive straight into it. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is GameStop, like I mentioned. Kind of crazy, very, very crazy action. So GameStop spiked 69% on Monday. So it spiked kind of something like this. And then today it extended that rally up, 126%. It's now at $42. So it's 126% gains in just two trading days from Monday and Tuesday. So zooming in a little bit here, GameStop, it was doing well, right? From here to here, it wasn't a bit of a rally, right? It went from $10 to $15, rising by 15%. Okay, nothing crazy. But then last Friday, or I believe over the weekend, actually, Roaring Kitty, the guy who is responsible for the original GameStop short squeeze over here, he famously put on this trade idea during the summer. It worked, and then it worked very well, and he came out a multimillionaire. What he did was he just tweeted. He sent out a tweet. It was a meme of a guy leaning in on his chair, and that sent markets into a totally huge frenzy. GameStop spiked 69%. It's spiking again, and that's essentially what's happening right now, right? Market is kind of awash with this sense of deja vu of the speculative frenzy of early 2021. Which was halfway through the bull market. I'm going to add the S&P 500 for context. I don't want people to think that because this is happening now, it means a market top is approaching. Actually, it doesn't at all. In 2020, look at the GameStop craze happened about halfway through the bull market. Okay. And of course, that isn't gospel. Don't take that as absolute truth. But it just adds to the extremely high risk appetite in financial markets that we're already experiencing right now, which is also visible in credit spreads. Okay. So the surge in risk taking is mirrored in credit spreads for both high yield borrowers, so riskier borrowers, and investment grade borrowers. Spreads for both of them, meaning the difference between the prevailing market interest rate and the rate that these companies have to borrow, is very low. Okay. So there's a lot of confidence in corporate creditworthiness with spreads as tight as they are. Risk taking is very high. That's what that means. And so another thing that certainly helps with this is probably the Fed's political imperative. Okay, I've talked about this, ad nauseum, that it's an election year and maintaining favorable conditions during an election year is extremely important. And so both the election year and the fiscally dominant backdrop that we've been in, meaning the U.S. Treasury is spending, like we're in a crisis, but we're not in a crisis, spending all this money into the real economy on top of a supportive Fed, they lead me to believe that the market is going to stay stable and choppy in this upward direction as we move through the summer months and into November. And of course, this is despite Treasury issuance putting upward pressure on the yield curve and long-term rates and potentially risk markets themselves. Okay, don't forget, obviously, the Treasury is borrowing a great deal of money, but eventually that means that there will be a shift into risk off. When these rates become so attractive relative to equities, then there will be a point at which capital begins to flow out of equities on net. But I think we can stay here for some time in the time being. So switching up the board a little bit, let's go to Glassnode. So this is the on-chain data provider we're going to use today to take a look at a little bit of on-chain spending behavior. So this is a metric called Value Days Destroyed Multiple. It was created by our good friend TXMC. Go check him out if you're watching this on Twitter, at TXMC Trades, and he also hosts Alpha Beta Soup on YouTube. Go check it out. Go subscribe. So Value Days Destroyed Multiple is an on-chain metric. This helps us gauge the state of Bitcoin cycles by comparing recent spending behavior to the yearly average. And basically, when older coins are increasingly spent and eventually overpower demand, it signals a market top may form. And that's what you see here during these phases when the value prints higher and higher. This is older coins being increasingly spent and eventually overpowering demand. This is signaled, right, when this market gets very high, market tops in the past, just like that. And on the flip side, when accumulation is dominating and older coins are dormant, then market bottoms may form. So last week I talked about Coin Days Destroyed. Unlike Coin Days Destroyed, VDD, Value Days Destroyed, what we're talking about now, accounts for both the age of the coins and the economic impact of their value, which offers a better view of market overheating versus undervaluation. Okay, so VDD printed a high of 4.1 all the way back in March, and that was a couple of weeks after Bitcoin hit $70,000. Okay, so if I zoom in here, you'll note that Value Days Destroyed, okay, that's a little thin, hopefully you guys can still see it, printed 4.1, 4.2 even, just 2 weeks after we hit the top on March 13th, 15 days actually. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean a top is in, right? I'll go back and remind you that these actually occurred in the during bull markets, right? These occurred during bull markets. So this spike here marked what I believe is going to be a near-term peak. It doesn't necessarily mean the market is top. Past cycles have showed this similar overheated VDD metric, right, when these mountaintops form, and only marked corrections, like back during the 2017 to 2018 bull market, okay? VDD spiked twice, and Bitcoin still had 5x more upside, okay? Bitcoin here was, $2,500 when VDD spiked initially, and even $5,000 when Bitcoin spiked here, or $4,000. So it had 5x upside when Value Days Destroyed was all the way up here at like 4.3, right? And it didn't top, of course, until it hit $20,000 for the first time, right here, 19,000, right? So it still had 5x upside even though this metric topped. So this does indicate, to me at the very least, that this is a local top, not an absolute top for the cycle. As Bitcoin is kind of declining, it's entering 10 weeks of consolidation. So going off of history, Bitcoin likely has one or a couple of final runs left in it before it calls it quits for this cycle. Now, just to set reasonable expectations, I don't think we're going to 4 or 5x from here. You got to remember, Bitcoin was a much smaller asset back in the day during the 2017-2018 cycle, and it was bigger during the last cycle that we had in 2021. And you'll note that Bitcoin only had roughly 1.5x more upside during the last cycle. And so I think, given Bitcoin's similar size today, I'd say something like that is far more reasonable. Of course, we're not a prediction outlet. We're just here to tell you how to think about the data. Shifting gears here to look at miners, this is the difficulty regression model, and this estimates the all-in sustaining cost of Bitcoin production. Okay, so basically, how much does it cost to create one Bitcoin? And currently, post-halving, that is at $29,350. So not bad at all. The cost to create a Bitcoin, basically, you've got a 100% profit margin. That is absolutely wonderful. More than 100% profit margin. That's great for miners. Very favorable environment. Even after an event like the halving, where rewards are cut in half, these stable profit margins give them plenty of breathing room here. And so miners are operating comfortably. And as long as Bitcoin's price remains where it is, and it's got a lot of breathing room, it'd have to fall 50% in order for miners to have to break even, we won't see a capitulation event. And by capitulation event, I mean miners being forced to shut their operations off temporarily or sell Bitcoin to keep the lights on. And we're not going to see that anytime soon as long as Bitcoin's price stays right up here. And this gap stays the way it is. And shifting gears to the mempool, just to further talk about this point. So the projected difficulty adjustment is actually higher. So usually post-halving, you see, because miner rewards are cut in half. Obviously, the block reward, the new amount of Bitcoin, is cut in half. Miners drop off the network, and as a result of that, block times slow down. Okay, and so the difficulty adjustment is downward in order for block times to come back up to that speed back up to that 10-minute mark. But now you see 38 minutes ago, 37 minutes ago, 30. So this is a 1 minute block time, 5 minute block time, 1 minute block time, 8 minute block time. Okay, so you can't see my cursor. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, you know, these block times are very, very short, and we have a difficulty adjustment. Okay, now you can see my cursor. Yeah, look at how short these block times are. Difficulty adjustment is up post-halving. That's a rarity, and it's a good rarity. It's good that we're experiencing this because thanks to Bitcoin's price remaining where it is, halvings usually place added strain on mining operations and it's already a tight margin industry. But thanks to Bitcoin's market price remaining well above the incremental production cost we talked about here, that $29,000, no major miners have had to shut down operations or liquidate significant Bitcoin holdings in order to stay afloat. And so the upcoming difficulty adjustment 9 days from now is set to raise the mining difficulty in order to slow down block times closer to their 10-minute target and keeping Bitcoin's monetary policy on track. Yet another beautiful aspect of Bitcoin. It's good to see that miners are doing well even after the halving. Very happy about that. And it's good to see that they're doing so well that the Bitcoin protocol needs to get a little bit harder to account for it. Okay, now the final chart for today. The final chart that we'll talk about for today is just my view on what's going to happen over the course of the summer. So like I said, the backdrop is very favorable. And let's zoom out here. Let's use a philosophical razor, a general rule of thumb, Occam's razor, one of my favorites that my dad taught me from a very young age. It's a rule of thumb that says the explanation that posits fewer variables is preferred to the explanation that posits more. Basically, it's just a long-winded way of saying don't overthink it. The simpler explanation is the more preferable one, okay? And so Bitcoin isn't a bull flag. We view Bitcoin is in a bull flag. It's clearly in a bull flag. And with the macro backdrop that we have during an election year and with a government that's spending like crazy and a central bank that has one finger hovering over the stimulus button in case of emergency, we're in for an upward stair step chop for the summer at the very worst. Okay, at the very best, Bitcoin breaks out of this trend sooner than later, and we get to see higher highs once again. That's everything for today. I really appreciate you guys watching. As per usual, make sure that you follow me if you're watching this on Twitter. Follow the YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell so you stay updated on everything that Bitcoin's going to do this summer. And maybe we'll cover GameStop a little bit more too. So that's everything. Once again, a big, big, big thank you to River. They've been very good to us. They're our favorite exchange. Securely buy Bitcoin, zero fees and recurring orders. They have one-to-one full reserve multi-sig self-custody. They're not like these other exchanges at all, and you can withdraw at any time. Full US-based phone support. Text Bitcoin to your friends using River Link. Check them out. They're my favorite. And you can get $100, up to $100, when you sign up and buy Bitcoin. Go to river.com/TBL. You're not going to regret it. It'll be worth your while. So that's everything for today. I really appreciate you guys watching, and take care.